I had great experience looking back at working one-on-one in personal training. I did that for 6 years, running my own business, as well as working in different environments. So cross-training, gym, boxing, swim teaching. So good to be able to facilitate different types of sessions, and then working at community level sports, so managing a larger group.
Hi there, my name's Rama and I'm a strength and conditioning coach. I don't think I've ever delved into a piece of Prepare Like a Pro content without feeling absolutely inspired to not only be a better coach, but a better athlete and a better person. With Prepare Like a Pro, I have instantaneous access to a world of in-depth knowledge and expertise from not only Jack McLean himself, but a range of other strength and conditioning coaches, doctors, physios, dietitians, and a whole lot more. There really is nothing like this. And that is why I love being a part of the Prepare Like a Pro Academy community.
Hello and welcome to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. Make sure if you haven't already to subscribe to my YouTube channel to receive a notification and never miss a live interview. I hope you enjoyed this interview and please share with a friend or a teammate that you think will value this episode. Let's go.
And welcome to this monthly update for strength and conditioning coaches and high performance staff. I'm going to provide some tips and progressions to maximize your time in your pursuit to your first full-time contract in pro sport. So if you're a strength and conditioning coach, sports scientist, or anyone that's interested in working in high performance sport, this will be applicable to you. And if, of course, if you're listening in live on Instagram, YouTube, DIN, feel free to use the chat box below and send in some questions or queries. But I've talked about AFL and my journey into my first full-time pro club contract on episode 89. So if you're interested in AFL more specifically or learning from my experiences and how I got my first full-time contract, head over to episode 89 on our podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about more of a general progression. I've actually got a high-performance questionnaire that's soon going to go out to all my contacts in the A-League, Rugby Union, Rugby League, and of course the AFL, and of course, and NBL as well. So all your Australian pro club team-based sports, and get a bit of an idea on what are some trends for being a strength and power coach at a pro club, getting your first full-time role. Was it more PhD embedded, or was it being an assistant S&C? Also work out how long people have been in the industry, how long did it take to progress to a rehab coordinator, how long did it take to progress to a strength and power coach, how long did it take to progress to the high performance manager role. I know for a lot of you sports science students out there that I've been chatting with recently in our discovery calls, that is a goal for most of you, is the pinnacle, leading your own program at the highest level. So I will discuss that from my point of view. And then once I get that data over the next couple of months, I'll be sure to email it out to our email list so you can access that information and get a bit of an idea on how many years you need to spend to get your first time contract. And then for those that are already working at a junior level, maybe you're running an AFLW program and you're an assistant S&C in the men's program, or you're a PhD helping out with sports science, and then you're assistant in the weights program, and you've been doing that for a couple of years, and now you want to go into a rehab role or a strength and power role, get a bit of an idea of what the industry practitioners, how long they typically took before they took that next step in their career. So stay tuned for that. And of course, if you're not on our email list, make sure to join. Just simply head to prepelicapro.com. You can join us there. I'll also go into some tips around gaining some experience and how to make the most of those different experiences, that whether it be a local level community sport, talent pathways like the NAB League, state league like VFL, the private clinic, which I think is a big space for your development for as a coach, particularly in rehab. And something that I wish I did a lot more of in hindsight, and in the role that I'm now at the D's, where all I'm doing is working with injured athletes. When I look back over my career, I think I've been coaching for now for 10, 12 years. Majority of the time prior to this role was spent with healthy athletes. And I think when you work with an injured athlete, it's the best way to really challenge your methods, challenge your coaching style, and ultimately get a framework in place for how you do your drilling all the way through to your strength power progressions, to your conditioning work, and how that adjusts to whether it be the pathology or and that individual athlete and what's going to help maximize their time in rehab. So I think couldn't recommend getting into a private clinic, particularly if there's physios that you can work with and work alongside and to build out the best program. Have that collaborative approach early on in your career that will put you in great stead for working in pro sport. And of course, getting internships and volunteer experience at pro clubs or just simply spending a day at a club and shadowing those that are in roles that you want to work towards or perhaps the role that you need see yourself working towards next. Quick update in terms of our academy. I've recently had our Get Better Plan monthly call, which you all would be aware of, academy members. That AFL reconditioning presentation, which I did for ASCA recently, is now live in the academy. So if you go to the Get Better Plan section when you log in, you can have access to that. It went for 45 minutes and it just breaks down some key pillars when it comes to reconditioning. So if that interests you, make sure to check out that recording. In terms of the upcoming on the podcast, for those podcast listeners listening in, we have Matt Jordan, who's an expert when it comes to rehabilitation and strength and conditioning. And he's done a lot of great work in the research space as well. That's on the 7th of March at 4 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So make sure to note that one down in your diary. Our next live monthly Get Better Plan will be for our Australian Rules footballers. So for all the members out there, whether you're on our program, you're working with one of our coaches, or you're an academy member, remember you can join to be our K member for as little as $20 a month, or you can work with our coach and you get it for free. And of course, if you join our online program, you also get it for free. You can join me on March 14th at 4 p.m., where I'm going to present on deceleration, how to stop on a dime efficiently and effectively. You decelerate at times two times more than you will in training. So it's really important in training to learn efficient ways to be able to decelerate and set yourself up that you can then accelerate or cut or open step out of those positions. So practicing that in training, so then on the field, you're able to react quicker than your opponents. It might not be that you're the fastest athlete or you're the strongest athlete, but if you can have good movement efficiency and you'll be able to react and get to good positions, good patterns earlier than your opponent, then you can be a step ahead, whether it be reading the play or just be the first to react by being in a better position, keeping your feet. So learning how to decelerate. And then of course, more from an offensive point of view, how to agility training. So how to power cut really well, how to open step really well, backwards 45, forward accelerations, backwards re-acceleration. So all the things from all different types of movement patterns, I'll go through it in a presentation for our academy members. So make sure to put that one in your diary, 4 p.m. And then Georgia Bevan, the dietitian, performance dietitian of the Adelaide Crows, will be our next interview-based podcast episode. That's 21st of March. So I know nutrition's a really popular topic for those, particularly on our following us on Instagram, getting lots of questions all the time about nutrition, meal plans, all the things. So if you have any questions in that space, the best people to ask, sports dietitians, specifically those that have worked in the AFL, of course, they've got experience working with footballers. So make sure to tune in for our next episode with Georgia. If you have any questions that you want me to ask, of course, reach out on our Instagram, direct message me or email me at jack@preparelikepro.com for your questions. But going back to today's topic for the S&Cs listening in, I'll start with what's the fastest route, in my opinion, to get your first full-time contract. I think it's being embedded into a pro club by doing a PhD. So if you want the fastest route to getting full-time experience in pro sport, I believe that's the fastest route. And there's getting more and more opportunities out there now that COVID's irrelevant to get into a pro club. Reason being, you'll find this, and then no doubt listeners will find this when they hit that interview stage. Maybe you've done your Bachelor's of Sports Science or even you've done your Master's. Now you're starting to get into the real world, get experience, maybe at semi-professional level, local level, whatever it might be, and you're still not even getting to the interview stage. So you're applying for full-time contracts and you're not even getting a phone call. And that's because you haven't got that full-time experience yet, or you haven't led a program at a semi-pro level. Or perhaps you haven't got strong enough a network base for people to contact those that are going through the interview process on the panel. That was one thing that I learned later on, which was a great tip for me, was you can be qualified for a role. If over 100 people are going for that role, you may be qualified. You may have the experience to be able to get that role, which in my case I did at this particular time, but I didn't make the interview stage. when I spoke to one of my mentors, he said, you should have let me know, Jack, the only way that you're going to get an interview and a shot at presenting at that role is if you speak to your references and anyone that has connection with that club for them to get in contact and put you forward. And that just highlights your resume, so then it actually gets looked at. So it is a game. You need to be aware how to play that game. If you're going for a job and you don't get an opportunity to present, it may not be anything to do with your resume. It might just be that you haven't played the game, let's call it. So there is some tips and tricks that you can learn. But what that speaks to largely is, one, you can build up experiences, of course. Yes, you've got to have a ticket to the dance. You've got to be qualified. But you've also got to have great advocates that you've worked alongside with that are going to speak highly of you from as a person, what you bring, your values as a coach and how you program and everything, all the technicalities, but also how you conduct yourself. So references are absolutely critical, which speaks highly to, if you are interning at a club at the moment, make sure that is your number one priority. Make everyone's lives easier for those that you're assisting, whether it be the high performance manager, the sports scientist, the rehab coach, the strength coach. Make all their lives easier by helping out and build trust and respect with that team, and make sure you give that internship opportunity everything you've got. Not only will you gain great experiences by doing that, you'll build great relationships, but it'll also pay dividends later on. It might not be at that club, but it might be when you go for a role in a future opportunity and they contact someone from that club and they say all the good things about you. So networking is really, really important, and there is definitely a right and wrong way to network, and that is the right way, just by doing great work and letting the rest take care of itself. So I didn't go the PhD route, but that would be if you're looking at the fastest way. You're doing your Bachelor of Sports Science now. You're about to finish your Masters. And you're like, all right, I need to get full-time experience. I want to get it now. I would look into opportunities to embed yourself at a club and by completing your PhD. The other opportunity, which is the road that I took, is spending about 4 years at semi-professional level until you reach a point where you're now managing a program, whether it be MBL, Div 1 soccer, sorry, MBL 1, which is the level below, or Div 1 Premier Soccer League. It might be a VAFA league. It might be any of those. NAB League would be obviously a great opportunity. Any of those where you can work your way up to being a high performance manager at a state league level, including BFL. And you want to, that typically will take you about 4 years of experience. So you might have a couple of years working with the development athletes, then a year or two assisting the HBM as a 2IC, where you're leading typically the strength program. You might be helping out with the medical team with the rehabilitation. And then on the fourth year, you're now running the program. Once you're running that program semi-professional level, you're now in the mix to apply for those full-time contracts, which will typically involve managing an AFLW program while assisting the men's program. Some clubs, like the D's, we've just promoted our hub performance manager from 0.7 to full-time, solely to focus on the AFLW program. So you can see how fast the AFLW program is growing from a revenue point of view and support. Whereas maybe a couple of years ago, it was divvied up between sharing the time between AFLW and men's, which was incredibly challenging for those staff because obviously the seasons don't align. There's a lot of clashes, and game schedules will revolve around game day. So if you play on a Thursday night and a Saturday night, the training days are going to change, and that might clash with one or two of those programs. So it is better to be embedded in one program and focus on that. But so that's the other route. So either PhD and get straight into building up full-time experience, which once you've got full-time experience, you're well ahead of the pack in terms of getting that full-time contract after your PhD student, which could be the rehab role, probably more typically. If that's not the route you're going to take, you're going to need about 4 years of experience at least at state league level, like I said, and work your way up to managing the program. And then now you're at that opportunity where you can go full-time roles where you're probably going to manage a program while assisting another program, more than likely, or it being in an institute system. From there, for those listening in that are currently PhD students full-time, or they're the assistant S&C or AFLW high performance manager, your question is going, how can I now get into a rehab role, which is typically the next stepping stone? I would say you need 2 years of experience at least at full-time. So if the PhD took you 3 to 4 years, and then now you're looking to get your first full-time contract solely through employment, you would qualify typically for that, as long as you built up your experiences and you've got some things to talk to in terms of why you'd be a qualified candidate in the rehab role. if you during that PhD experience you didn't do any rehab at any level, of course you're not going to be someone's going to be selected. So you need to make sure you're using that time wisely. If you're currently rehab S&C and you're looking to be a strength and power coach, I would say you need about 5 years full-time experience at AFL at a pro level before you can qualify an interview for the head strength and power role. And then, of course, high performance manager role typically all have 10 years plus experience at pro level. Doesn't mean that's all at one sport. That might be they were at a rugby club for 3 years as a rehab coordinator. Then they went to a A-League and was their head strength and power coach for 5 years. And then they went to a AFL club, also as a 2IC strength and power coach. They did that for 3 years and then they got to run their first program, maybe at NBL level as a high performance manager, for example. And once you're at that level, high performance manager role, of course, now you can move around different leagues. You've built up rehab experience, you've built up strength and power experience, and now you're building up as a manager. You could transfer that, which is the beauty of our industry. You're not like technical coaches. Now you can work all around the world in physical preparation and you've got rehab now. So you've seen how to work well with the medical team and take athletes from injured to return to performance. You know how to conduct yourself in the weights room. And of course, you know how to condition athletes and manage your team. So that's when you can move around all around the world and take on those different roles. But as you can see, experience is king when it comes to all this. Make sure that you, at all levels, you're developing yourself and growing as a coach in all different facets. So conditioning, strength and power, rehabilitation, and then, of course, your coaching and your technical models throughout the whole process. Going back to our high-performance questionnaire, these are the questions that I've currently got up of the obtained during the questionnaire. So I'll find out what where they're currently working in. Is it AFL, A-League, NBL, Rugby League and Rugby Union? And it'll be interesting to segment those to see the different experiences required to get to certain roles. Then it's going to be Head of Academy of Strength and Conditioning, PhD Sports Science or a PhD Assistant S&C Coach, Reconditioning Strength and Conditioning Coach, Sports Scientist, Head Strength and Power High Performance Manager. So they're going to choose what their current role is, where they're at right now. Then from there, how many years of semi-professional community sport did you complete before your first full-time contract in pro sport? Is it 1 to 2 years, 3 to 4 years, 5 to 6 or 7 plus? So from someone like myself, I'm currently working in the AFL. I'm currently a reconditioning strength and conditioning coach. To get my first full-time contract, which is a assistant strength and conditioning coach and manager of a VFL, the aligned team, so you're working both AFL men's and then the VFL. And to get to that point, I had done 2 seasons at community level and I had worked 4 years at a VFL level. So for me, that is 5 to 6 seasons there to get to that first full-time contract. My first full-time role, so the selections that applicants will be a PhD Sports Science Assistant Strength and Conditioning, either that or Head of Academy Strength and Conditioning, Women's High Performance Manager, a Reconditioning Strength and Conditioning Coach, or a Sports Science. So yeah, typically the 5 roles there. So if you break those down, PhD Sports Science, are you really strong when it comes to research, academic, and being able to make an impact in pro sport and help out at a level of pro level? So you need to have some coaching experience to be able to, for a club to want you to be their PhD student typically. And of course, you've got to have really good grades and make sure that you're nailing all your studies to be able to stand out from the competition to land that. So that's one option. Another option, Head of Academy Strength and Conditioning Coach. So how much experience do you have working with youth athletes in athlete development? Are you working at a high school currently? Are you working in private practice? Are you working with larger groups? Yeah, do you know that cohort quite well? It is a niche experience. So youth development, managing young players, how technical, how well can you engage younger athletes and making sure they know how to improve their movement competency, but also educate them on how to live a lifestyle of a pro athlete. Then you've got your women's high performance manager. So how well can you work with female athletes? How well can you manage a program? And how well can you lead a department? Because of course, as a manager, you're going to be across the medical, the performance, and you've got to work alongside the coaches as well. Then you've got your reconditioning strength and conditioning coach. Typically, there won't be many, I suspect, that select this as their first full-time contract, but I'm sure there'll be different answers from different leagues. So perhaps in other leagues, they don't have an academy S&C or an assistant S&C full-time, and the first full-time contract you can get in other leagues may be the rehab coach. So that's an option there. Clearly, you're going to need to have rehab experience, both working at semi-pro level, but also in the clinic. So if you're not getting any experience in rehabilitation, highly recommend doing that, because it's going to be a role that you're probably going to experience before, if your pursuit is to be a high performance manager, before being a high performance manager and before being a strength and power coach. And then sports science, which is for some of you listening in, you do your sports science degree and you want to move more down that data analytics route. So that's another opportunity as well. What academic qualifications had you completed in your first full-time contract? So options are Bachelor of Sports Science, Human Movement, Masters of Sports Science, Human Movement, PhD or other. So yeah, I know there would have been a long time ago, coaches out there may have been qualified with Cert 3 and 4, but nowadays you're going to have to have your Bachelor's of Sports Science as a minimum to get a contract. Then from there, with what you now know, what would your advice be to yourself starting out in a career in high performance sport? So like I said to you guys earlier, my answer with that would be gaining more experience with injured athletes. I had great experience looking back at working one-on-one in personal training. I did that for 6 years, running my own business, as well as working in different environments, so cross-training, gym, boxing, swim teaching. So good to be able to facilitate different types of sessions, and then working at community level sports, so managing a larger group, designing conditioning plans, and working with the coaches to design training sessions. Then when you go into VFL level, then I was building my experiences in the weights room with strength, more specifically, and power development. We built a power club where guys in the off-season, if they wanted to come in and learn plyometrics and Olympic weightlifting, then I took them through that, which I learned through working with a weightlifting coach at a gym. And then ultimately, all the experience from then is working at football clubs. So high performance manager, VFL level, two different clubs, and then also assisting the strength and power program for four different AFL strength and power coaches. So every year I've been in the AFL, I've had a different strength and power coach, which has its pros and cons, but you get to see a lot of different ways of getting buy-in in your first year as a strength and power coach, as well as different ways of programming. So that has been a good experience. And then, of course, more recently, being a rehab coach going into my second year. So my advice to myself would be to gain more experience working with injured athletes, but that would be interesting to see what the rest of the industry have to say. If there are any questions out there that you don't think I'm addressing that you think would be helpful for you to know, I would love to hear from you, whether you're a member of our academy or not. Feel free to hit me up if there's a particular question that you think would be important data from the industry to work out what people have done to get to the highest level. But that's it for this week. Thank you for everyone that's tuned in. Remember, we've got Georgia Bevan on 21st of March at 4:30 p.m. So if you're interested, make sure to put that in your diary. You can check out all our upcoming live YouTube episodes on our YouTube channel. And if you haven't yet booked in your discovery call for 2024, it's free. Just click the link in our Instagram bio to book in your time, 20-minute chat over the phone, where we talk about your goals for this year, whether you're a footballer, how you're going to maximize this year over the next 6 months, and really write down some strong goals. And I'll give you some practical tips you can apply to help you towards those goals. And same for strength and conditioning coaches out there, whether it be business goals or career goals, how to progress your career and maximize your time in the next 6 months. Jump into my calendar, book through the link. You can also find that link in the show notes of this podcast. Look forward to chatting with you and connecting, and I will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Remember to rate the show and subscribe to our YouTube channel to never miss a live Q&A. Look forward to seeing you on the next one.